Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to another edition of the Zach Gelb Show on your Sunday morning. 855-212-4CBS is the number if you want to climb on in. 855-212-4227. And we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and always mortgage confidently. You could also follow me on Twitter at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And if your tweet is good enough, we will read it on the air. So a lot to do on this Sunday morning. We have 4 hours to play until we sign on off at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific. We'll have two guests join us along the way. Coming up at 3:40 a.m. Eastern, 12:40 a.m. Pacific, Olden Polonese is going to join us, the former NBA big man. Now does a great job, Fox Sports NBA analyst. You could always give him a follow on Twitter at Olden Polonese 1. And then coming up at 4:20 a.m. Eastern, 1:20 a.m. Pacific, John McClain, who's covered the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for 38 years, he's going to join us as well. We'll touch on Jameis Winston, a little bit about the Odell Beckham contract situation, and a little bit about the AFC South with the Houston Texans and also the Indianapolis Colts getting back their quarterbacks, or trying to get back their quarterbacks, in Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck. So a lot to do on this Sunday morning, but where we have to start it off is with the National Basketball Association, as we are in the offseason period. We just had the draft go by on Thursday. You have all these trade speculations flying around all over the place. It was overall, I thought, a boring draft. I thought it could have been more exciting. I thought there would be a bit more trade action. That was not the case. You had some interesting moves, like the Luka Doncic and Trae Young trade, the whole situation with Mikal Bridges, but we did a big draft recap yesterday for over 2 hours, so we're going to move past the NBA draft, and we really start to delve into the real exciting part of the NBA offseason, and that's going to see what more trades are going to come, and also where will maybe some of these big free agents land. And we all know LeBron is the preeminent name in the sport, and we're all going to wait and wait and wait and speculate and speculate on where LeBron James is going to go. But right now, we're kind of in that waiting period with LeBron James. And the name that is generating a little bit more buzz currently on this Sunday morning and Saturday evening has been Kawhi Leonard. And the latest report today was from Sam Amick of USA Today, who said that the San Antonio Spurs are basically either going to fix this, and that's their preference, or they're going to trade into the Eastern Conference. And we've seen these reports before. We've seen a little bit from ESPN as well. We know Kawhi Leonard wants to go to the Los Angeles Lakers, but the San Antonio Spurs are still going to try to find a resolution to this conflict and still try to keep him. And it's also worth mentioning that the Spurs could still pay him the most money with the Supermax, but if they can't find a way to salvage this relationship, which many people believe that there's no resolution in near sight, then they're not going to ship him off to the Western Conference, where they're going to have to go up against him directly and see him more than what it would be if they do trade him to the opposition in the conference, and that would be the Eastern Conference. So that's where we currently sit. And the Lakers, they called, and basically the Lakers were told, yeah, we're not talking to you. If he's going to get traded, he's only going to the Eastern Conference, but we're still trying to keep the former finals MVP and also two-time defensive player of the year. So it's Kawhi versus the Spurs. Kawhi wants to go to the Lakers. The Spurs want to either fix this or trade him to the Eastern Conference. And really, four questions come to mind that we'll jump right into right out of the gate here on CBS Sports Radio and Sirius XM Channel 206. And the four questions that come to mind when you hear about this battle and this boxing match between Kawhi and the Spurs, whether it's Pop, R.C. Buford, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, you name it, these are the four questions. Number one, can they find a way to do a little smoochy-smoochy, kiss, and make up? Now, once again, they do have that Supermax, which would be north of $200 million, but I get the feeling that this is at a level that is already too contentious, and I do believe it's going to be extremely difficult for these sides to kiss and make up and keep Kawhi in San Antonio. I don't think it's very likely. I have a lot of respect for the San Antonio Spurs organization. We know they're the definition of class for well over a decade and also the definition of winning, and usually you don't see these types of situations get to this point, especially with the star player and an organization like the San Antonio Spurs. But nonetheless, here we are with that. So I don't think it's very likely that they're going to kiss, make up, and say every little thing is going to be all right. Then that leads into question number two. Will Kawhi Leonard change his mind and maybe sign long-term somewhere other than the Los Angeles Lakers? Because there's one thing if you say you want to go to the Los Angeles Lakers and try to push that now, but if the Spurs are so set on not trading him to the Western Conference, would Kawhi be willing to entertain the idea of going somewhere else? And I would have to believe over time, the answer would be yes, because you also want to win. Yes, you want to be happy. Yes, you want to get your money, but you also want to win. And there's other alternatives and maybe better alternatives than the Los Angeles Lakers. And if the Spurs are saying for this year, we're only going to trade you to the Eastern Conference, well, then two teams that come to mind are the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics, who have a bevy of pieces and a lot of assets to offer, especially coming off this draft where the Sixers did get that 2021 unprotected first-round pick. We all know the year Boston just had, and Boston, you got to see players like Jaylen Brown develop and get better and better and better, and that could be used in a trade package. So will Kawhi change his mind and maybe elect to go somewhere other than the Los Angeles Lakers in a trade? I think that could be possible. Because remember, if he gets traded, he could sign with that team for about $183 million. If he gets traded to a team that he does not like and then wants to go somewhere else in free agency, you go from getting north of $200 million with the Spurs, then passing up on the 183 to the team you get traded, and then going down all the way to 140. I still understand that's more than any of us will probably make in a lifetime, but it is a significant decrease. So I do believe Kawhi could eventually entertain the idea of going and getting traded to somewhere else that isn't the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, another question I have, as I have two more for you, as we look at Kawhi versus the Spurs, would Philly or Boston make a trade without assurance from Kawhi Leonard? And I think that's a big thing, because remember, Kawhi is a free agent next year. So if Kawhi tells a team, let's say Philly's interested or Boston's interested, and Kawhi says, no, I'm stuck on going to the Lakers. Don't trade for me, because if you trade for me, I'm not going to resign. Would Philly or Boston call his bluff, knowing what the financials were, like I explained a few moments ago, and knowing they could pay more if a trade goes there, maybe get a little bit of a discount from the Spurs because of that, and make a trade for Kawhi without assurance? That's a tricky situation. It is. But I still believe if a team like Philly or Boston that is set up to win, if they could get Kawhi in the building and if they could get him there through a trade and maybe a little bit of a lesser price because there's not assurance there from Kawhi, I still think they could find a way to make it work and make Kawhi happy, because they're going to be winning and he's going to be one of those missing pieces that could take them over the top and maybe find a way to get four victories up against the Golden State Warriors. And then finally, I guess this would be the last part of this issue to tackle. Would the Spurs take less just to stick it to Kawhi Leonard and really just stay with the course of, we're only sending Kawhi to the Eastern Conference, knowing that maybe they take less, maybe they're not going to get a whole lot back, maybe you just get one player or one future pick that you feel good about, you take less and you send Kawhi to a team that you know he doesn't want to go to, and then you get the last laugh because then he could only make $140 million, where if he would have stayed with you, it would have been north of $200. So those are the four questions that I really look at and that we're attacking right out of the gate. Can they kiss and make up? I think it's going to be tough. I don't believe that Kawhi Leonard's going to be on the Spurs this upcoming season for the full season. Can Kawhi change his mind and maybe entertain the idea of going somewhere other than LA? Yes, I do, if it's the right situation, insert Philly or Boston. But will he change his mind? And would Philly or Boston make that trade and strike for gold even without the assurance that he's going to stay there long term? And then finally, do those Spurs just say, you know, we'll take a little less, we'll stick it to him, and we're going to end up hurting him in the pocket? And that one, it would not shock me, because we know that Pop, even though he's a legend, he could be a little bit petty here, and he could really stick, you know, him and R.C. Buford could really stick to, okay, we're not trading him to the Western Conference because we don't want to see him more. So the question that I'll ask right out of the gate at 855-212-4CBS, that's 855-212-4227, is where do you think Kawhi Leonard's playing next year? Is it with the San Antonio Spurs? Is it with the Los Angeles Lakers? Is it with the Celtics? Or is it with the Philadelphia 76ers? You give me that answer at 855-212-4CBS. Where will Kawhi Leonard be playing next year? When we come back, we'll delve into some of those options. We'll see what assets some of these teams have to make a trade. And then I'll give you my opinion on where Kawhi will be playing next year, because two teams are really in my mind right now that I do think could benefit all parties involved. It's a Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Talking Kawhi Leonard and where you think Kawhi Leonard is going to be playing for next year. Can you see the Spurs and him making up and staying with San Antonio, or do you think it will be elsewhere? I'm in the camp, and I think the majority are in this camp, that Kawhi Leonard is going to get traded and will be playing elsewhere. So let's look at some of those alternatives. Just at the start of this, I do believe next year he's either going to be playing for the Sixers or the Celtics. I just think it makes the most sense. The Spurs don't want to trade him to the Western Conference. I do believe that a team like Philadelphia or Boston that is set up for years and years of success can entertain Kawhi Leonard and decide to persuade him in a different direction, where right now it appears that he's boom or bust, LA or nothing. So when you look at the Sixers, they have that 2021 pick that's unprotected. You could use also pieces like a Markelle Fultz, a Dario Saric, who I don't even know if he's going to be available, because even though Brett Brown said they are star hunting at the draft, there was a report that the Sixers had no interest, even though they were trying to move up, they had no interest of trading Dario Saric. They just got Zaire Smith in a trade, so maybe he could become a trade asset. And then also Robert Covington as well, who is locked up, a very good defender, just a streaky three-point shooter. But I also think an important thing to remember here is Brett Brown has the San Antonio Spurs roots, so that could help maybe facilitate a trade there. So Sixers definitely in play. The Celtics, you have Terry Rozier, you have Jaylen Brown, and Brown just had a very dominant season with a lot of injuries. He did blossom and had a very nice year. And the Celtics, they still do have that Kings pick through the Markelle Fultz, Jason Tatum trade that is top one protected. So I don't know how you could trade that. It could get a little tricky to trade it, but that could be another piece as well. But you may not even have to trade that much, especially if you are parting away with someone like a Jaylen Brown. So Celtics, if they can get Kawhi there, and they've tried in the past, I would trust that Danny Ainge can keep Kawhi Leonard in Boston, especially with the team that they've developed and the players that are coming back in a Gordon Hayward and also a Kyrie Irving and the young stud that they have in Jason Tatum. So I think the Sixers and the Celtics are the two best options, and you build a very dominant lineup. If he goes to Philadelphia, you have Embiid, you have Simmons, and then you would add Kawhi into the fold. If he goes to Boston, you have Kyrie Irving, assuming he does stay. You do have Gordon Hayward. You have Al Horford in addition to maybe Kawhi Leonard as well. But when you get past that, I know people are going to advocate for the Cavaliers, and I got that on Twitter today, at Zach Gelb. Yes, the idea of keeping LeBron and adding Kawhi Leonard is a nice idea, but what assets do the Cavs have? You're going to sell me on trading Kevin Love? That doesn't get me all giddy if I'm the San Antonio Spurs. So I think the Spurs are not going to make a deal with the Cavaliers. I just don't think Cleveland has enough. The Lakers, they have pieces. Kuzma and Ball would pop one a deal with the father, though, in LeVar Ball. But they do have pieces with the LA Lakers. And the Clippers, they have Tobias Harris, has a one-year deal left, so maybe that you get him, hoping to re-sign him and also make it work from a salary cap standpoint. And then you also just drafted the Kentucky guard and Jerome Robinson. So those are some teams and some possibilities. The Clippers, the Lakers. However, the Spurs don't want to trade him inside the Western Conference, and then maybe you could explore elsewhere with the Sixers and the Celtics, to me being the two more likely teams to make a trade with the San Antonio Spurs. 855-212-4CBS. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, and it's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's start it off with Carlos in Irving, Texas, next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Carlos? How you been, my man?
Oh, I'm good. Hope y'all enjoying the weekend. I definitely want to mention that I kind of see a three-way trade. I don't got no inside scoop. It's just a prediction, but leads back to my prediction about LeBron going to the Spurs. How about Cleveland trades LeBron to San Antonio, Kawhi goes to the Celtics, and Irving comes back home? But I don't know how Irving feels about how the organization did him, which is totally understandable, but that's my piece. Hey, y'all have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Carlos. Don't think it's very likely that that's going to happen. You have a lot of moving pieces. And I know Carlos has been calling up for the last 3 weeks, and he's been standing there saying and screaming, it's going to be the San Antonio Spurs where LeBron James is going to wind up. I understand him and Pop are friendly. I just don't see it. But, yeah, that's a crazy sports radio hypothetical trade where it only happens on sports radio, and it happened right here on CBS Sports Radio. But I do appreciate the effort. Let's go to David in Seattle next up on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning. I'm at work here in the newsroom. I heard a theory today. I don't know how true this is, okay? It's just a theory what I heard.
Where'd you hear it from?
Clyde Winter going to somebody in the East, right? And then they turn around and make a phone call to Los Angeles. Do you think that's possible, or is that just theory and waste of time?
Just wondering, where did you hear that? I haven't heard that at all.
I heard it here in the newsroom, in the Northwest newsroom here in Seattle.
Okay. I don't think it's very likely, because if you're an Eastern Conference team, let's say Boston or Philadelphia, you're not going to give up what the Spurs are saying just to go try to make another trade for Kawhi to get a Kuzma or a Ball. Now, if there is maybe a team and the Spurs are still very much set on not making that trade, and I think this is still a reach of not making the trade to the Western Conference, maybe they take less and you try to get more. But I would have to imagine if you're trading for Kawhi Leonard, you are trading with the intentions to keep him. And still, even if you want to run with that crazy theory, in my opinion, I still believe, even at, compared to most of the teams of the Eastern Conference, even at some of their worst offers, you still could get something very, 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 very valuable if you're dealing with a Boston or a Philadelphia, if it gets to that desperate of measures. So, no, I don't think it's very likely that a team from the Eastern Conference trades for Kawhi, maybe gets him for a year, or maybe not even that much by that theory, and then trades him to the Western Conference to get a Kuzma or a Ball. I think we're reaching a little bit there on that one. Let's go to Alex in Pittsburgh, next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Alex?
Hey, man. So I wanted to talk to you about, I don't know, hypotheticals and reaching, say, in the, the spirit of the conversation you've been having. I'm curious what your dark horse team is, man. I understand that the Celtics and the Sixers seem like the likely pick, but I'm a Bulls fan, and I'm holding out hope that I can get me a superstar. And I don't know. I understand the Bulls have an abysmal roster, But what about, I don't know, could the Bucks pull something and team him up with Giannis? Did the Raptors pull him in and finally get over the hump? Who's your dark horse team? Who's somebody that's not the easy answer, the Celtics or the Sixers?
Well, would you consider the Clippers an easy answer? Because I still think that's a long way to go, and he would still get to go to L.A.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying anyone in the Western Conference because it seems like that's been ruled out.
Yeah, but to me, you can never say never. That's what they're saying now. If they get a good enough package, for example, the Spurs get a good enough package from the Lakers and it's better than anything in the East, I would still take the best package available and not worry about trading him in the Western Conference opposed to Eastern Conference. I'm just looking to get the best deal available. I guess the Clippers would be a dark horse, but that's not really a strong one because a lot of people have been talking about them being a possibility. And it's a tough one. I don't see the Raptors. I just don't see it. Like the Bulls, like you said, I don't think they have enough pieces to strike a deal. The Bucks, in theory, it would be fun with Giannis, the Greek freak, and maybe they could trade a Dante DiVincenzo, who they just drafted, and some other pieces. But yeah, I really do believe that he's going to be on one of these teams next year. Clippers, Lakers, Sixers, Celtics. One of those four. And if I had to rank them in terms of those four, assuming that he's not on the Spurs, I'm going to go Celtics 1, Sixers 2, Lakers 3, Clippers 4 out of those four teams. The Celtics have a lot to offer. The Sixers have a lot to offer. But I do believe a player like a Jaylen Brown would be very valuable to get in a trade. And I'm really riding right now the Celtics or the Sixers. That's where I do think he will wind up for this upcoming season. And it makes sense for the Spurs. I don't think they'll be able to find a way to fix this relationship. You can never put anything past Pop and R.C. Buford, but right now it does not look bright that they'll be able to fix this Kawhi Leonard mess right now in San Antonio. And I think Kawhi is very annoyed because of some of the way that this has been handled. I'm not saying Kawhi is right in this situation because I would like to see him stay in San Antonio first. But I also think it's very telling when you have someone like a Tony Parker come out and say what he did say, that his injury was 100 times worse, and then Pop brushes it off, and he's always short with the media, so you can never tell which way it's interpreted. But I think there's a lot of people right now in that Spurs organization that are annoyed with Kawhi Leonard, but they still know how good of a player he is, and still maybe they're holding out hope that they could find a way to fix that relationship. I just don't think it's likely. I'll take one more before the break. We'll go to Brett in Cleveland next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Brett. How you doing, man?
Doing great, hey. Brett.
I think that the Spurs should hold out the way the Lakers held out with Kobe back in, 2007 when he requested a trade?
Yeah, but here's the tough part. If you hold out and this gets longer and longer on, he is a free agent next year. So you are going to diminish the value. I think you need to make a decision before the start of the season. And maybe I should call him Zach because he called me Brett, even though his name is Brett. But hey, well, we'll get past that. I just think it's very, very tough to wait on this. Once the season does get started, now maybe if you're a few weeks in, I could understand. But once the season does get started, it's going to be tough to make a trade. And if you wait until the deadline, teams are going to know that he's a free agent next year. And unless if you get a few teams bidding against each other and maybe the options are very few because you're already eliminating the Western Conference, it's going to be tougher and tougher to trade him as this goes on because he can walk and he gets closer to that free agency date and teams aren't stupid. They're not just going to give you a king's ransom if they could smell a little blood and realize that you're in a tricky situation.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
So we also have the NBA awards coming up on Monday night. Now, you may forget about these awards because they happen way after the season ended. We had the season wrap up in June. You have then the draft. And then towards the end of June, where we are now, is the NBA awards. And these are awards for the regular season. So here's what happens. Everyone has an idea. I'm talking about fans and talk shows. We all have an idea of who's going to win these awards when the regular season does wrap up. And then the postseason happens and people will say, oh, well, this player didn't play well, so he shouldn't win Rookie of the Year. Or this player didn't play well enough, so he shouldn't win the MVP. or this coach quickly got bounced by LeBron again, so he shouldn't win coach of the year. That's what happens. And usually, you need to stick with what happens if you are a fan with what you thought about the regular season, because these are regular season awards. Now, I understand that. Trust me. I was someone that said, and I'm guilty of this as well, I was someone that said LeBron James, before the regular season did end, that he was not going to win the MVP. Then you see what he did in the postseason, and it's impossible in the back of your mind not to think, well, how does this guy not win the MVP? Because he is the most valuable player in the game now with the team that he was playing with, and it just further did prove in the postseason how poor that team was and what he had to do to reach the NBA Finals again. So I'm going to separate this, and I understand they're just regular season awards. I get that. But I'm going to separate this into who will win the award and who should win the award. That's how we'll break down these predictions right now. Who will win the award and who should win the award. And the three awards that we're going to look at here before we take the break is the MVP, Coach of the Year, and Rookie of the Year. Here are your finalists. We'll do them. Let's start with Rookie of the Year. The finalists are Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, and Jason Tatum. Based off the regular season, let me make that abundantly clear, not the postseason, because these are regular season awards. Based off the regular season, Ben Simmons out of those three should win Rookie of the Year. Donovan Mitchell was excellent. That Utah Jazz team was supposed to be nowhere close to the postseason this year. Not only did they get to the postseason, but they get to the second round. He was very good, over 20 points a game. Jason Tatum was a heck of a rookie this year and took his stock even further into the postseason. But Ben Simmons in the regular season was the most complete rookie out of the bunch. 15.8 points per game, 8.1 rebounds per game, and 8.2 assists per game. And oh yeah, by the way, had 12 regular season triple-doubles. That's the second most all-time for a rookie. He passed Magic Johnson, who had 7 in his rookie season. So Ben Simmons should win the Rookie of the Year. Now, if you put the postseason in play, it's probably Jason Tatum if you put the postseason in play. But you don't do that. Now, who will win the award? I think that it's going to come down to Mitchell or Simmons, and I believe it's going to be very close. It would not shock me if Mitchell wins the award, but I'm going to go with Ben Simmons. So I think Ben Simmons should win the award of Rookie of the Year, and I think Ben Simmons very slightly, this is the one that I feel least confident about out of the three that we're going to talk about, Ben Simmons in a very slight vote, I believe, will win Rookie of the Year. Now let's get to Coach of the Year. And my should and would answer and will answer is the same. Who should win the Coach of the Year between, here are your finalists, Dwayne Casey, formerly of the Raptors, Quinn Snyder of the Utah Jazz, and Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics. I don't even think this should be close. Brad Stevens was without Kyrie for a big part of the season. He was without Gordon Hayward for all of the season, and his team still excelled, and to me, he was the best coach in the NBA last year. Brad Stevens, to me, it's not even a conversation. Now, you could have a conversation for Rookie of the Year. You could have a debate for MVP. Coach of the Year, Dwayne Casey doesn't cut it for me, and I understand they were a one seed. Quinn Snyder, heck of a year. Not taking anything away from him. But when you look at Brad Stevens, I thought he was the best coach in basketball last year. So to me, he should win the award, and I think he will win the award. But let's remember, his peers, the coaches, did not even vote for him when they had their own set of awards. He didn't get one vote, which is still mind-boggling to me. And we had Cedric Maxwell on the postseason. He couldn't explain it either because I just don't get that one. Now, here comes the juicy one. And let me ask you guys before we get to MVP, Ben and Jake. Rookie of the Year, Jake, I'll start with you. Mitchell, Simmons, Tatum, based off the regular season, Who's your rookie of the year, Jake Aspin?
It is tough because I do think it's going to be close, as you're saying. I think Simmons will ultimately win, but there's that argument you can make, Zach. Well, is Simmons really a true rookie because of what happened last year? He sat out. I know there's a standard set. There's a precipice set. Blake Griffin won the award after sitting out his first year, tearing the ACL, the whole thing. But there's that legitimate argument to be made. Should he be eligible to win the rookie of the year, despite the fact he was really not a rookie? He sat on the bench the whole year. He had the opportunity to kind of experience what an NBA player's life is without actually playing last year.
Yeah, he did have that experience, but he didn't play. And the rule's the rule. So I'm not going to have a funny T-shirt or make a funny saying right now. I'm going to stick with who the rookies are. And in this, it's a fair conversation to have because I know it's brought up all the time. But Ben Simmons, to me, should win Rookie of the Year. Now, he was not the best in the postseason. He was abysmal up against the Boston Celtics and did not do a good job. But this is a regular season award. Mr. Horowitz, who will win Rookie of the Year, in your opinion?
It's Ben Simmons. And look, this phony asterisk, at the end of the day, he's considered a rookie. He goes up for the Rookie of the Year, and he was the best rookie, in my opinion, in the regular season.
All right, fair enough.
Postseason's a different story.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, it's a regular season award.
You could put his face on a milk carton because he did go missing in that postseason for a big chunk of games up against the Celtics. And I like Ben a lot, and I think he definitely has a bright future in the league. Coach of the year, Casey, Snyder, Stevens. Horowitz, who do you got coach of the year?
And this is tough, keeping in mind that it's a regular season award. I really like what
Dwayne Casey. But see how tough that is?
Just
with how they position it. I understand I said that there's no debate here. But a big part of my mind, even though I emphasize it's a regular season award, just go, oh, well, Brad Stevens got to the Eastern Conference Final Game 7 with missing those two players that he was missing. So how can he win Coach of the Year? It's so tough to differentiate that. That's why I just wish they wouldn't do this stupid award show that they drag it out and just make it more of a show on last season and drag out the season. And they just give the awards out when the regular season ends. Because you're going to have so many stupid debates when these awards are handed out. And when Rookie of the Year happens and it does go to Ben Simmons, people say, oh, well, he was terrible in the postseason. The postseason doesn't matter. But it's tough to differentiate those two.
It really is, because I really liked what Dwayne Casey did during the regular season. But I am so, marred by what happened in the postseason.
Yeah.
And the fact that he rightfully lost his job. I mean, he took that team as far as he could possibly go, but I liked what was done in the regular season. Brad Stevens, I think, is an easy pick because he's just a genius. And again, the recency bias, his genius was, glaring in the playoffs. But regular season, I'm giving it to Casey.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if how the coaches voted maybe is something that could, and I know the coaches don't vote for these awards, but it could be something that could be telling how the writers will vote.
That's a fair way to look at it. I think it would be interesting, but I don't like having writers vote for any of these awards in any sport.
So who should vote, in your opinion?
I think the players should do. I think the way that the NFL Network does their top 100, I think that's the way to go. The guys who are in the game, the guys who are playing the game, those are the guys who should vote because they know the game best. These writers all have their vendettas. They all have, stick myself out in the limelight and I'm going to let everyone know why I voted this way. I can write all my columns I want. It's not the right way to do it.
But wouldn't the players also have their bias as well?
I think a lot less so than the writers, because the players are always in the spotlight, especially when it comes to the NBA. Players are the spotlight. These writers like to insert themselves into this conversation, and we see it all the time, especially when it comes to the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. It's not about you, okay? It's about the players who are deserving of the awards, the coaches who are deserving of the awards. And I think the players will tell you, the God honest truth. They don't need the limelight. They don't need their 15 seconds of fame.
All right. And coach of the year for you, Jake Aspin.
It's got to be Stevens. But I'll tell you what, I don't think enough people realize the votes for this were already in. Once the regular season ended, they submitted the votes.
Sure.
So this is not people looking back on it now and thinking, well, we had the regular season, then we just saw the postseason, and then maybe their judgment's clouded.
No, but that's how we react to it as fans.
That's how we react as fans, exactly. But the actual people who voted on this, their votes were in when the regular season ended, so that won't be an issue as far as the final results being misconstrued because of what happened during the postseason.
All right, let me just get the pen out and make sure I have these correct. Horowitz, you go Simmons, right? Rookie of the year? I got that right?
Simmons.
Jake, You were Simmons?
Simmons.
And I was Simmons as well. Horowitz was Dwayne Casey for Coach of the Year. I was Brad Stevens. Jake was Brad Stevens. MVP, it's Davis, Harden, and LeBron. I will give you that answer on the other side of the break.
He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, so far, as we're giving out three awards, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and now we'll do MVP. So far, I have Ben Simmons as my Rookie of the Year. Brad Stevens is my Coach of the Year. Ben Horowitz has Dwayne Casey as his Coach of the Year. And Ben Simmons as his Rookie of the Year. And then Jake Asman has Brad Stevens and Ben Simmons as the Coach of the Year and Rookie of the Year, respectively. Now let's get to MVP. I think Harden's going to win this award. I do. Because for LeBron James to win the award, he can't have a single blemish on his resume in the regular season. And LeBron James was spectacular this year. You can make the argument LeBron James should have won it this year. You can make the argument that LeBron James should have won it last year. You can make the argument LeBron James should win it every year. But the matter of the fact is, he was not the one seed. And I think in an Eastern Conference where he should always be the one seed, and I'm not saying that's the worst thing in the world that he wasn't, because clearly the last 2 years he's shown that it doesn't matter. He'll still get back to the NBA Finals. I think the writers will hold that against him. You also had the Rockets, who were a one seed in the Western Conference. Everyone assumed it was going to be the Golden State Warriors. The Rockets had a tremendous regular season, a good run in the postseason. Unfortunately, CP3 got hurt. I think James Harden will win the award. But when we separate this will and should, I do believe LeBron James should win this award, because he was playing with no one this year. And his roster just changed completely at the trade deadline. And some of that his fault, as we know it. But LeBron James is the best player and the most valuable player in the sport, which is the definition of the award, most valuable player. I think he's the most valuable player. I think LeBron James should win it, but I think James Harden will win it. So for my official prediction, in order to get it right, I will go James Harden. Jake Asman, what say you?
Well, you know what you just said is so true, and that is what's so frustrating, right? Because if you watch LeBron James, anyone will tell you he's the best player on the planet. And then we say, well, we all know he should win the MVP, but Harden's going to win it. And why should that be the case? I get it. Harden had a great regular season. But if LeBron's the best player and he's clearly the MVP, we shouldn't have voter fatigue and hold it against LeBron. I agree with you. I think Harden is going to win the award. I just think it's so ridiculous that we all say the same thing with LeBron. He's the best player on the planet. He should win the MVP. Yet every year, for the most part, he doesn't win that award.
And I think it's a cycle. Those are the cycles. And the cycle is we try to diminish and take away all throughout the year, and then we see what happens in the postseason already too late because the awards are already submitted in, and then you go, oh, yeah, he should have won it. And that's what happened this year.
He should win it every year. I mean, he's the best player on the planet, and really, the separation between him and whoever you want to argue is the second best player, I think, well, you know, maybe has never been as you know, apparent, as greater as it is now.
You're walking right into the point I was just going to make. It's not the most outstanding player award. It's the most valuable player. And no matter what sport we're talking about, fans, pundits, athletes, coaches, everyone seems to blur those lines. It is the most valuable player, not the most outstanding. Because if it was most outstanding, we'd have LeBron James winning every single year.
What would the Cavs be without LeBron, though?
Again, you can make the
argument. He's the most valuable player in the sport.
Well, because he's the most outstanding, but not always is that the case. I would argue he was definitely the most valuable in the playoffs because he didn't get contributions from anyone else. But James Harden's pretty damn valuable to his team.
Sure.
I get Chris Paul is there, but is Houston anywhere better than a 7 seed if James Harden wasn't doing what he was doing all year?
What were they last year?
In seeding?
Yeah.
Oh, you put me on the spot.
No, that's fine. I forget off the top of my head. If you go back to the 2017 regular season, what would they have been the year before? If you go back to that 2016-2017 regular season. I can't remember off the top of my head of where they were, because they didn't have Chris Paul then, because they just got Chris Paul in this past offseason. You have the answer on that?
Yeah, they were 3 seed. They were 55-27.
Well, there you go. So they would be better than a 7.
No. I'm saying without James Harden, not without.
Oh, without
Chris Paul.
Without
James Harden with Chris Paul there, they're a decent team, but they aren't what they are. I'm saying
fair.
Without Harden, they're probably a seven seed in that.
So
with
CP3, it jumped them two spots.
Right.
Jumped them two spots. Big.
It helps, but I ultimately think that Harden's more valuable to Houston right now. Again, the Cavs will be nothing. And I think that we have a little bit of recency bias because he just dominated the playoffs. LeBron dominates when he wants to, but he doesn't. You don't see playoff LeBron every single night in the regular season. You just don't.
So we're all going with James Harden is actually going to win this award? Because I think he's going to win the award, and I think you are as well. Jake?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Harden. I just think, you know, the idea that we all have the conversation about LeBron year after year, like you should just win the award. You know, it shouldn't be held against him.
He's Brady. He's Brady of the, if you want to compare it to an NFL. Brady will never win the MVP unless if he's the one seed. Look at the three times Brady's won the MVP. He's been the one seed all those times. LeBron has to be the one seed. Those players are expected to win it almost every year. That you can't have a blemish on the resume, and LeBron had the blemish of not being the one seed. Fair or not, that's just the reality.
It just shows you like the standard we have for Brady.
It's so high.
We have for LeBron, where their own greatness they almost suffer from when it comes to award votings. And LeBron, I mean, you could legitimately make the case every year he's the most valuable player in the league, and he only has, I think, four MVPs to show for it.
And to get to Ben, I think the reason why Harden wins it also as well as he's playing in the Western Conference. And they were the one seed, and they got past Golden State in the regular season in terms of the standings, and I think that does carry a lot of clout.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Tom in Illinois. Next up was Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
How you doing, man?
New doing
Yorker?
Great.
From Massapequa, Long Island. But anyway, I want to say.
Wait. You're from Massapequa?
Yeah, Massa Pizza.
Massa Pizza. I'm actually. I was.
Where are you from? Where are you from?
I grew up in Massapequa, and
you did where on the South Shore or North?
Right in what was it? Southgate Circle
Avenue. You know, you see, I'm North Shore.
I think it was in Southgate. And then I eventually moved to the Dix Hills Comac.
You're Seinfeld South.
Okay. What's your point,
all
Tommy?
Right, man, let's let it go. Man, all right. But nice to know you're a Massapequan.
Yes, I'm a Matza Pizza in.
Hey, Matza Pizza. Anyway.
Matza Pizza. You combined Italian and Jewish foods there, but go ahead.
What's the point? It's like, yeah. The Italian and Jewish. Come on, man. Brandy's? Oh, man. Best kosher dog I ever ate in my life. Anyway. Broadway. Brandy's. You ever go to Brandy's?
No.
Forget it. You go find it. It's there.
I hope it
still exists. But anyway. My best friend is Phil Rosenberg. Yeah. Hello. Are you there?
Yeah, Tom, I'm here. You're calling the show. Make the point. Let's go.
The point of the call was that LeBron James is going to go to L.A., but that's not my point because you got off. You digressed. I'm going with Porter, Rookie of the Year. I'm going Coach of the Year, Thibodeau, and I'm going with Butler, MVP. How about that?
All right, Tom. You know, he said Porter, Rookie of the Year? You know, Porter actually has to play for this past year.
What the f*** was that?
Wow. That is a risky drop.
Paul Turner said it.
Wow. At first, I thought he was dropping the you-know-what.
He also made up a lot of towns there in Massapequa, or a lot of places in Massapequa. I'm a Long Island guy myself, just like you, Zach. I never heard of one of those towns or one of those places that he said.
I was very young in Massapequa. I was there until I was about 8 years old, and that was about it. But I like the the Matza Pizza or the Matza Pizza. He was going all after the Jewish and Italian, which I am Jewish and Italian, so I guess it worked somehow. You know, could be a long night for, what was his name? Tom, I think?
Yeah, Tommy.
Yeah. See, not very memorable, to say the least.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Kevin Harlan. That's one of the great radio moments still to this day. All
He's bare-chested and banging his chest.
Let's see if Steve in Baltimore could be any better. Can't be worse. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Doing good. I got rookie of the year Ben Simmons, and LeBron James should get the MVP. And coach of the year, I think, should be Greg Popovich. What do you think of those picks?
Well, Pop isn't a finalist, so he's not going to win. But why do you think it should be Pop?
Because he's done a lot with very little. That team wasn't very good, and he took him to the playoffs, and he won a round.
Yeah, but once again, you can't consider the postseason. Postseason doesn't go in the – wait, did the Spurs even win a round? The Spurs went around to this postseason? I don't think they did. I could be wrong on that. The Spurs went around. Didn't they lose to Golden State in the first round, right? They lost to Golden State, right, in the first round? I'm pretty sure they played Golden State. Or who they end up playing. Look it up. But I don't think they did win. So, no, it's not going to be Pop. It's either Brad Stevens. Yeah, I just said they beat Golden State. So I was right on that before I was told I wasn't. So, yeah, there you go on that. All right, so two interesting callers. That's sometimes what happens when it's 4:10 a.m. Eastern time when we take some of those callers as well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.